This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to help you move beyond talking about Christianity and even knowing the Bible to living for the glory of God. And for this, we need good understanding. We need what's called a Christian worldview. That's the focus of our program today, as we have with us a guest, John Stonestreet. John is a speaker and fellow of the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview. He's a communicator who speaks really around the country about apologetics, theology, Christian culture, and analyzes secular culture. He's involved in conferences and colleges, speaks at churches and so forth. And John, we thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
And you co-host with Eric Metaxas on Breakpoint. Tell us what that is for those who may not know.
And next year is the 25th anniversary of Breakpoint Radio. 25 years ago, the late Chuck Colson really got a passion for helping the church engage the culture well and to think about it clearly from a Christian worldview, to be able to really understand the events that were happening in our culture, the massive changes that were happening, without a sense of panic, but with a sense of understanding. And so he started this radio program called Breakpoint. It's on over 1,300 radio outlets a day. Many people receive it, many hundred people receive it through email. But it's a short 3.5-minute commentary on something that's happening in the culture, bringing clarity to it from a Christian worldview. And so we never run out of things to talk about, whether it's stuff happening in the political space or in the arts or in international, international issues dealing with the church, persecuted church, for example, around the world, you name it. And that's the idea that we've always had at the Colson Center, because Christ is Lord of all. That we can actually approach and think about and talk about just about any issue from a Christian worldview.
John, you co-authored the book Making Sense of Your World, A Biblical Worldview. Would you suggest that many of us who call ourselves Christians may not have a true Christian worldview?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, many Christians, at least, and we've seen studies about this from George Barna, in other places where, you know, Christians believe the right theological convictions about God, but when it comes to actually what they believe about reality, the existence and knowability of truth, and, you know, whether, you know, how they understand things like human dignity or, you know, all kinds of different things, that really their visions for their life in the culture has come from the culture. It hasn't come from the scripture. So, you know, we call this kind of a compartmentalized faith. So part of our faith, the Sunday morning part of our faith, is being infused by Christianity. The rest of it is being infused by culture. But again, as we just said, Christ is Lord of all. That's one of the things that the most prominent, significant, thorough, unquestioned Christian conclusions is that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things and the redeemer of all things. And so to be able to see what happens kind of on Monday through Saturday, through the lens of our faith, not just kind of our personal, private, moral beliefs, but really as we go to work, as we vote, as we live in community, understanding those things from a Christian worldview is very, very important for believers.
John, you have my attention, because what I'm hearing you say is that I call myself a Christian. There may be things from the culture that have gotten into my mindset that are not truly biblical, and I kind of want to get those out. So I'm going to ask you some questions to get your help with this. There may be others that join me on this journey. I think it's a very important journey. If we say we're following Christ, but we've got our mindset that's very different than Christ's, I think we need to get it straightened out. So let's start with the whole idea of the Bible. I know there are a lot of people who think it's important here in this country. What's an average of 2.5 Bibles on the shelf, like kind of the same number of kids in our homes, you know, but how many people really read it anymore?
Well, and that's one of the great, I think, limitations. I mean, when people are surveyed and are asked basic Bible knowledge, a lot of times they can't answer the question. Of course, they can't answer the question about basic civics knowledge very often, too. I mean, but it's ironic that what is forming somebody's thought. So, for example, if you stop the average person on the street and you said, hey, name you know, four of the judges from the Old Testament. Mm. Most of them wouldn't be able to do that. They may not even know there was such a thing as judges in the Old Testament. If you said name three judges on the U.S. Supreme Court, many of them couldn't do it. But if you said name three judges on American Idol or The Voice, they could. And so that just kind of, I think, is a revelation about what is feeding our mind. Where are we getting our information from? It's not from the scripture. It's actually from the culture.
So the culture is, as with any culture, it's made up of one or more worldviews. Talk to us about our culture. Of what is it composed today?
Well, it is, and there's a couple different ways to look at it. We talk about it in Making Sense of Your World. If you pick up Chuck Colson's classic book, How Now Shall We Live, there's different ways to kind of identify these worldviews. And there certainly have been shifts in history where there's been, you know, kind of expressions of, for example, Hinduism. There's expressions of Hinduism in American culture, but it doesn't shape American culture. Culture's really shaped by three things: ideas, artifacts, and champions. So the ideas that people come up with about the world and how it should best function, the artifacts, the stuff of the world, you know, the institutions and the inventions and, you know, the stuff we buy and so on. And then the champions, the prominent spokespersons for particular ideas. And if you look at those three things and say, well, wait a minute, which worldviews are really shaping our culture? The clearest, you know, worldview, I think, the one that becomes most obvious is the idea of secularism. Secularism isn't atheism. It's not a worldview that says that God doesn't exist. It's a worldview that says that God is nothing more than a personal, private belief, maybe even a figment of our imagination. So that when it comes to the public space, you know, how we do education, how we do law and politics, how we do, you know, entertainment and media, well, you know, kind of full-on Christian convictions about things like morality and the existence of God and people sin, nature, and things like that, well, that doesn't belong there. That's just what you believe in your personal mind. And so those are the ideas. The ideas of secularism are very much those that are shaping our culture, that religion is a personal, private belief. The artifacts do as well. So the laws that we have say, well, if you have certain belief systems, if you have certain religious convictions, well, you can't bring those into the public square. You can't actually bring those into the educational process. If you look at the Obergefell decision from the summer, Justice Kennedy articulated something like that if you have a belief about marriage that doesn't automatically include gay and lesbian couples, well, then that's a religious artifact, and it doesn't belong in the public square, and we can't make laws about that, and so on. So very, very clearly, Justice Kennedy's decision was an artifact of secularism that pushed the culture that direction. And then, of course, we have the champions. And, you know, we have the vocal champions like Richard Dawkins, but really, you know, the champions are the movies and the songs and the television shows that basically sell us a vision of life that's kind of sentimental, not based on morality, look inside your own heart, do whatever you want to do. And so these, you know, the commercials, like, you know, if you think about it, Blaise Pascal famously said we have a God-shaped vacuum in our heart. Well, our commercials day in and day out tell us we don't have a God-shaped vacuum, we have a Lexus-shaped vacuum, right? I mean, we have a stuff-shaped vacuum. So these things then continue to shape the culture in which we live. And it gives us, the you know, essentially the people that live in that culture are given from the culture a secular vision of life in the world.
So what will it look like if we adopt a different, and I'm just going to flip the words now, view of the world? For any listener who's saying, what's a worldview? It's just a package of everything you believe. It's the filter through which you view reality. It's your philosophy, your theology. It's your mindset. It's your set of values that sort of guide your life. So if our view of the world moves from secular to Christian, are we going to look really radical? Are we going to stand out and seem different than people around us, do you think, John?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, I think we would seem very different. For example, we may actually suggest that there are moral absolutes, particularly when it comes to sexuality, and we're going to live like that. So we're going to be, you know, like some of the students that I've dealt with who have worked really hard to have a Christian worldview, not just Christian behavior, but a Christian worldview. So, you know, they have not kind of jumped into the hookup culture on their college campus. That's a choice of behavior. Their choice of worldview gives them the ability to actually articulate, well, I'm not going to do that because, you know, these deep sets of beliefs about what sex is for, what marriage is for, and so on. I think we're going to see, you know, how we spend money. You know, I think one of the things that Scripture teaches us is that there are things bigger than immediate gratification. Those things which bring immediate gratification are not the things that bring long-term wisdom and long-term peace. And so living for the eternity rather than living for moment, that's going to look very different than, you know, kind of an American culture in which there are high rates of debt and which family has sacrificed on the altar of you know, financial success or business career advancement or, you know, something like that. So I think it would look very different in all kinds of different ways.
So give me a suggestion. It may be a battle plan of 10 points or maybe just one main thing to tell me or something in between. How do I develop a truly Christian mindset and worldview? How do I get that perspective?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing is what you already mentioned, which is we have got to be in the Scriptures. And I think a lot of Christians think they're in the Scriptures because they're in a church where maybe they hear a sermon preached on a particular verse, or maybe they have memorized a handful of verses. And what we often don't realize is that we have to understand what those verses mean in their larger context and within the entire context of the redemptive history of the world that's given in the Scripture. I mean, if you look at it, the Bible itself is this grand sweeping narrative of the creation of all things to the new creation of all things, to the Christ who spoke the world into existence, the one who, according to John's revelation, is making all things new. And so a lot of times what we try to do is take a little verse here and a little verse there and apply it to our lives so that we can have a better belief system, or we can have a better feeling about ourselves, or you know, maybe deal with a particular moral decision, and maybe even address a particular cultural issue. When in reality, what we should remember is that our culture, our lives, ourselves, we're part of that larger story. So the point isn't to take the Bible apart and find what Philip Yancey once called a moral McNugget to apply to our lives. The point is to really see all of life through the lens of the story of Scripture and realize that even our culture is a moment, but the story of Scripture is reality. And so it really means we have to be immersed in the story of the Scriptures from creation to new creation, and not just breaking it apart in moralistic, therapeutic ways, but really allowing it to inform us about the nature of reality itself. That's the first thing. The second thing, I think, is the power of community. We understand that to be Christians are first and foremost, as all humans are, made in the image and likeness of God, and so we're not isolated individuals. You know, there are institutions which God has founded, most notably the family. So we're going to take family very seriously, and we're going to see that our worldview is primarily shaped by our families. And so if we take worldview seriously, we're going to take family seriously. And we're going to actually, you know, allow our vision of reality to be shaped that way. The next thing I think we got to do is to really tackle these issues and ask questions. So, for example, when we hear, I don't know, things said about freedom, we need to back up and say, well, wait a minute, what does freedom mean? Let's define our terms very carefully. I've taught students for years in worldview, and that's one of the most important things, I think, for students, is to realize that a lot of times when it comes to the culture, we might use the same vocabulary as the culture, but Christianity has a different dictionary. And we need to back up, and we say something like a human being. Well, our culture assumes that the most important thing about a human being is their sexual inclinations and choices. Christianity says something different. So we need to define our terms carefully, and we need to ask ourselves, what do I mean by that? And what should that word mean? Words like freedom and love and truth and justice and peace and eternity and salvation, all these words need to be defined from a Christian worldview. And we need to fight for those definitions in our mind. A lot of times the definitions that we embrace in our lives, we don't think about. We just assume them. And having a Christian worldview means being intentional about the definition of those words and what we mean by them.
You know, the worldview, then we can say, because we could take any of the topics you mentioned and more and spend hours and hours, of course, on them. But worldview is a very big package, and it's filled by the filter of my mind. I love Romans 12 when Paul says, don't be conformed to the world. And the Phillips version says, don't let it pour you into its mold. And that's what we kind of do, isn't it? We let the culture shape us instead of being proactive. As you, doing the things you've mentioned, being in the Word, being in community, and then looking at issues through the filter of Christ and of His teachings, it will take time. Is that right? It takes time to build a solid biblical worldview, would you say?
Oh, of course, and it's not just because we've got to be intentional, and culture continues to change, so we continue to have to answer questions in our particular cultural context that other people did not, even though the foundational truths are the same. The expression of those truths or the lies in our culture, you know, continue to change. And the other thing they have to understand is that Christianity is a lifelong obedience. Eugene Peterson borrowed a phrase from Friedrich Nietzsche, of all people, you know, life is a long obedience in the same direction. And when we have that long obedience, we also realize, too, and this is one of the things we have to understand, is that worldview is not just what we think. It's also how we live. And when we develop really bad habits about money, that's going to shift our worldview about people, right? I mean, the Christian worldview is that people are more important than money. But if we have a set of bad habits about money, we might, like, you know, be able to say, oh, yeah, people are worth more than stuff. But many Christians live as if stuff is more important than people, even though we can assent to it. So, you know, that's why it is a lifelong process of progress. And it also requires other people. We need that accountability in our lives, because just like our beliefs should shape our behavior, if we're not intentional, our behavior will reshape our beliefs.
That's good. Yeah, I'd say you mentioned secularism being the foundational worldview in which we seem to be walking as a culture here in the West. Materialism is right upon that foundation, isn't it? It just sits there very happily. And it may be that circumstance, and maybe by the hand of God, this worldview will be challenged. You know, it will be shaken. If things happen in our country that unsettle us, kind of like 9/11 all over, and maybe even worse, I'm not predicting anything. I know there's a lot of hype and a lot of, I guess, fear going around about change coming in our country. But if things are shaken in our materialistic society, just reflect with me, John. Do you think maybe we'll be challenged to get more deep into a more biblical worldview? I mean, so much of the world has been living on very little, and they seem to get a lot of the scriptures, a lot of parts that we ignore about persecution or kind of avoid about living simply. You know, do you, talk with me. Surely you've been thinking about these things, and you do a lot in the radio. I'm not having a real pointed question here, because I want you to ramble with me a little bit, because I think this gets to the depths of what a lot of people are feeling. It feels like things are shaking a little bit. I'm not so sure everything we've held on to through all these years is going to hold fast. Where do I go? Is there a worldview that will carry us through?
Well, you know, look, I mean, obviously the ultimate thing about a worldview is whether it matches reality. And the story of reality doesn't change based on whether people believe it or not. And this is one of the things that we're calling Christians to today, is even in the middle of kind of a bleak society where things that are clearly wrong are being called right, things that are clearly right are being called wrong, and not to mention, you know, the economic and the geopolitical, you know, tediousness of and fragility that we see around the world. You know, the fact of the matter is no matter what happens in this cultural moment, the truth of the world is that Christ has risen, has defeated death, and the kingdom of God is secure. And so Christians are to live out of that larger hope. And when we're proper citizens, as Augustine said, of that kingdom of heaven, then we can be proper citizens of the kingdom of earth. I mean, we can actually then live in such a way. And I think what you see is a culture becomes more and more unstable when it becomes less and less apt to think about the future, and it only thinks about the moment. And a lot of sociologists have written about this, both Christian and non-Christian, is that, you know, cultures are like bank accounts. You can't continue to cash out of a culture without ever reinvesting in its future. If we continue to live for the moment, we're just kind of writing checks on a culture that can't be sustained. I mean, you know, for example, 53% of Americans, according to a Pew Research study from about 4 years ago, believe that marriage is an obsolete institution. Well, you can believe that, but marriage isn't. I mean, sociologists have pointed us to the fact that the health of the society is directly correlated and caused by the health of its family. This is not up in the air. We can say it's obsolete, doesn't mean it is. And so cultures become really fragile. When cultures become fragile, because of living for the moment, living from, you know, essentially the senses and not thinking about kind of higher ideals, they become unstable. And those cultures have to be rebuilt. Now, throughout history, and sociologists, for example, like Peturim Sorokin and some others have written about this, when a culture collapses, cultures are always rebuilt based on higher ideals. You know, the glories of Rome or Judeo-Christian, visions about human dignity and so on. But, you know, there's a lot of idealistic worldviews that are vying for the attention right now. So is it inevitable that America will turn back to Christianity? I certainly hope so, and I certainly think that the church should do everything in its power to do that. But, you know, there's another pretty prominent idealistic, and what I mean by that is not that it's fantasy, that Christianity is fantasy, but that living out of these higher ideals. Christianity is not the only game in town. Islam is another one. And we've seen the growth of Islam. We've seen, for example, in the middle of secularist Europe not having enough babies. So here's the whole worldviews have consequences, right? So if you live out secularism, if you think sex is about pleasure and not connected at all to procreation or marriage, then you have a Europe that embraces secularism that becomes a Europe in which there aren't very many married couples. There's a whole lot of people living together, but there's not a lot of babies. Well, Islam's living out their worldview too at the same time, and they're having a lot of babies. So when a birth rate's below 2 in Europe, it's above, 5 or 6 in Islamic countries. This shifts the culture. I mean, this shifts geopolitical realities. So, all of this stuff is at play, and it could get very, very interesting and dicey moving ahead. And so that's why Christians have to ground their feet on something that is eternal and unchanging, and that is the plan of God through the person of Jesus Christ to restore all things.
John, this has been very insightful. Close us out with just a quick statement of how we can get more good resources around this topic.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of great organizations. And if you come to breakpoint.org, that's our website for the Colson Center and our daily commentary that Eric and I, we're kind of a gateway into all kinds of different worldview organizations. We talk about different resources there all the time. And trust me, if you catch Breakpoint every day, you'll never lack for a great reading list. So come to breakpoint.org. You can subscribe to get our commentaries through email. You can get it through podcasts. All kinds of other things, but that's a great starting point to deepen your Christian worldview.
Thank you. This has been John Stone Street. John, we thank you so much for being with us and wish you every blessing on your work.
Great. Thank you so much.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening, and if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.